Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
Thank you all for being so prompt this morning. It's a really full schedule. I'll just say a couple of things about the whole concept of the camp. There are several programs like this around the country. One of them you may be familiar with is the Stanford Jazz Workshop. One thing that's unique about the UCSD Jazz Camp is that we teach you about a whole spectrum of different styles of jazz. So we're not just teaching about bebop and Charlie Parker and Duke Ellington and so forth. We're actually teaching you about that, plus a whole set of different approaches to improvising that have evolved in the years since the 40s and 50s. Jazz Camp is one of the programs that I decided I wanted to bring to UCSD when I joined the campus in 2001, and we managed to have our first edition of the program in 2003. The great thing about being here in the camp is that we have this faculty of about about 15 instructors, and they're all top musicians and top educators. Many of them tour throughout the world. And so you get an opportunity not only to listen to music on your iPod, but to actually watch people interacting while they're making music. In addition to the UCSD faculty who were involved in crafting the curriculum of the camp, I really want to recognize Jason Robinson, fabulous tenor saxophone player. He actually fleshed out the concepts that a number of us brought to the table and took a look at different camp programs around the country and created the structure that we've been using largely for the last 7 years. We've made the camp open to a wide age range from 14 years old to, so far, I think our oldest student was in his early 70s. And the common factor is not one's age, but one's musical capacity and interest. We really are looking for students who have a fair amount of instrumental music behind them. We're not teaching them how to play their instruments. We're teaching them to move on from the point of having good basic technical knowledge to the point of where they can actually improvise on their instruments.
I always wanted to come to something like this, and I seen it a few years ago. So finally I got up the confidence enough to come. I should have came sooner.
We ask each student to come in and do a live audition. They have to play with a faculty rhythm section. We have a piano, bass, and drums there for them. Each one has to perform a piece that they are familiar with, a jazz standard or blues usually. Then we'll give them a sight reading exercise, and in each case they need to both play the written music and improvise on that music. The auditions only last around 10 minutes. And we learn a lot about a student in a short period of time that way. We so far have used them solely to figure out how to place the students, both in terms of their level of aptitude at the beginning of the camp and also in terms of which ensemble they'll be placed in to work with a particular faculty artist.
All right, that's pretty good. Pretty good. You hung out with us good.
This is something that's very difficult to get across. An audition sounds like it's an exclusionary strategy, and in this case it's actually purely for placement purposes.
Yeah. it's very, like, sort of even on the amount of immersion you have. There's theory, there's listening and composing and arranging, and then there's all the different topics.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. We're purposely oversaturating people. At the most basic level, it is a curriculum that's designed to cram in as much knowledge as possible in 5 days. We really put a lot of information out there in a short period of time.
Okay, good.
I'm trying to give them a lot of information, and I always put together books because I think I want them to walk away from this camp. I want them to have something. And I want them to have something that they can study after the camp, because I'm moving pretty fast. The idea is that they can take that information home, they can work with it on their own, they can study it on their own, they have something to work with and hopefully more fully absorb.
A typical day at jazz camp begins at 9 a.m. and ends at 9 p.m. The first thing in the morning is a session of jazz history and theory, and these courses are taught in two different levels.
It was kind of unfortunate that when blues was coming into its own, there was this kind of forced dichotomy, animosity even between, the church music and the blues.
Okay, Nika's Dream. Nika's Dream is a tune, but it's a 64 measure form. It's like each section is just twice the size.
So we follow that with an hour-long session, which we call Jazz Topics, and these range all over the map. This is basically our opportunity that we offer to each instructor to talk about what they think is important for students to know.
Jimi Hendrix was an African American, and he came up in that community and built his music from that community, playing in rhythm and blues bands, rhythm and blues bands, and this is the music that he came up with. And Miles Davis came up in a similar community at a different time and built his music. But what I'm getting at here is these things kind of cross-pollinated each other. Miles listened to Jimmy listened to Miles. And there was even some.
We've had people talk about the life of being a professional musician and how that works, what that means. Some very profound discussions about that and really sort of how flexible you have to be and how willing you have to be to endure a kind of a hand-to-mouth existence up to a certain point.
I find it really valuable to talk about doing music as a career and how many different options you have. You can be a composer, you can be a performer, you can do shows, you can go on road touring bands, you can be a studio musician. So all the different aspects of playing, which a lot of people aren't aware of.
It's not really so much about the notes that you pick, but more that it's the element of surprise, like unexpected.
Right after lunch, we start into instrumental master classes. These are groups of students who work with a single instructor who is a master musician in their own instrument group.
You practice going from your one scale to the next. So, let me jump in here.
Class is a huge challenge. We're learning about intervals, and he asks us to play things on the spot that I've never heard of before. But he's very accepting and he's helpful. I think that he understands that we're all not quite professionals yet.
follow that by the composing and arranging section, which is an hour-long course.
A lot of times the problems with jazz compositions is that they become boxes. You have the boxes, and you have the ribbon on it, it's all dressed up and everything. But yet, a box is a box.
Because we're all students in some level. We're all learning about this music, and there's so much more to learn. And for me, this opportunity of teaching in the camp gives me the chance to engage again with music that, you know, I haven't listened to in a long time, and because I'm more involved in my own projects and other things, and so the music itself is so exciting to me, and to be involved in it and kind of gives the students that sense of excitement and discovery.
The theory and the composition classes are really unique because some other jazz camps don't go as deep into that.
See, it falls here. So it's very, 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 very interesting too, clever too. That uses modes in a very different way from culture.
And then after that, the core segment of the camp is the ensemble workshops.
Bar of 2/4. Let's try it again.
We divide all of the students up into approximately 7 or 8 different bands. And have them work together with a single faculty artist through the course of the whole week to work up a repertoire of around 3 to 4 pieces. And then that repertoire gets performed at the last student concert on the last evening of the camp.
One of the things that I like the best about this camp is that they just give you so much opportunity to play. And not only on, per se, bebop or blues, they're actually teaching you about free-form jazz, Latin jazz, any kind of jazz. It's opening my ears.
I also really like the combo setting. I really like the fact that we're playing all types of tunes.
Soloing an ensemble has been a big challenge for me because, you know, I'm really not one of the best soloers out there, and I'm not a huge fan of playing in front of a lot of people. But, you know, the best way to get over that is to practice. So it's been tough, but I think it's been really helpful.
I kind of work outside the categorical definitions of jazz to some degree. My ensemble, I always have an ensemble here, and my ensemble does my own music, because through my own music I'm able to teach a lot of interesting principles about music. And this year I've chosen some very ambitious music that's even hard for the musicians who actually originally performed it. It's a wonderful thing to watch the students play and play and play and be like, what's going on? What's going on? Oh, this is interesting. You know, they're having to, you know, they're like, they realize that the experience of actually playing music, the experience of actually doing the music, is bringing them into a new world.
The next thing that happens after the dinner hour is a faculty concert. Monday through Thursday, we have a variety of different faculty groups who perform together and also, try to give the students an experience of what different styles of jazz are like in live performance.
I work in this field. I'm on faculty here, and it's sort of kind of a no-brainer. You use the guys who do it and who are local. And I have some very, world-class colleagues like Anthony Davis, and then there's some very fine people who come in, and because of connections, we were able to bring Jerry Hemingway out, who I had mentioned earlier. We have like a 35-year history. I have the same length. I've known Anthony Davis since 1975. So the kind of musical chemistry that happens with that amount of time. There's a lot to share about that, not just the music, but about the human aspect of making music.
I came here about 6 months ago to meet Mark Dresser, planning to come here next year, and he suggested that I come. I asked to know a little more about it, and he kind of directed me to the website, and once I went to the website, I realized the faculty was amazing, and that's why I came here.
I've seen a number of these faculty members go on to become more involved in education, partially based on the experience they've had in this program. We follow that with a series of different jam sessions, either hosted by a particular faculty artist or just open for the students to figure out what they'd like to do.
Jam sessions. That's one of the things that I really enjoyed about this camp, because it's not only just telling you about how to play it, but then actually doing it in a situation like that, which I think is especially getting to jam, when it's the hosted jam sessions, they're playing along with you, and so you're really getting to play with all the great faculty members at this camp. You're with the faculty members all the time. They're not separate at all. Especially when they're in the combo setting, it's only a few people and then a faculty member, and then you're right there with them, able to maybe make some connections with them and the other kids at the camp.
And that's the conclusion of the evening. By that point, you would think most of the students were ready to go home or go back to the dorms, but usually we have to persuade people that the day is over and they need to take a little bit of a rest. It's really remarkable how energized the students get after a long day like that. Certainly for the middle school and high school students, the opportunity to study on the university campus is a big draw. The new facilities of the music department were so well calibrated to the needs of a program where you have multiple rooms and activities going on at the same time.
I've never been to jazz camp in years previous, but these facilities, that this is another thing, if someone was on the fence, the facilities here are phenomenal, and I've been to several other colleges of music, and this by far has the best facilities that I've seen, I think.
It wasn't like a big deal that in the middle of, tipping, playing a nice 4-4 groove, I had other ways of hitting the cymbal. It wasn't just about the usual techniques, but I could vary that. I could color it. I sort of began to learn about space and the power of, not playing. So hitting and then, and it's like, chums, got shit to do it, dang.
The thing that drives me most and excites me most about being an educator is the possibility to turn students on in the same way that I got turned on through that radio and through those concerts and getting close to that stage. Trying to bring them in some way to that energy through the way that I teach, to show them, to expose them to the possibilities and the amazing things music can do.
When I was growing up, there wasn't that much opportunity. I don't remember that many jazz camps and having a chance to see the kids and how they respond. I mean, the difference between Monday when they get here and Friday, they are just completely changed in, from the most basic level to the more advanced kids. The rate of growth in this camp is just phenomenal. So it's really exciting and rewarding for me.
Is a way to sort of survive, a fast tempo, and actually to make better music in most cases, right? You're actually playing melodically rather than just linearly, I mean, it's hard. The temptation on a fast bebop type tune is to play linearly.
I'm definitely coming back next year, After being here, I've seen how much work I have to do, and this summer I'm going to practice hard and then come back next year, and I think I'll really be able to get a lot out of it.
I think that we have really some really talented students, and it's very exciting to me to see. I identify with someone when I see a ninth or tenth grader who's just getting started, or has some ability. I remember when I was that age, and I was just learning to play jazz too. So that's always exciting.
Boom! Then now he's going to go. Now he's going to go in the second course. He's going to the original tempo. And he's going to trade fours. Okay. That was cool. That was cool. That would sound really good if we get it together.
Yeah, we'll get you. But
yeah, no. Let's try again. Just try. One, two, one, two, three, four.
The friends that I'm meeting here are really going to help me because I'm getting to meet super great musicians. Most of them are just awesome musicians, especially the faculty. It really inspires you to practice a lot more and just to become a better musician.
Connected to the chords, then we can look at this and translate this code and make music out of it. It's a translation.
The thing that I try to sell is to be just a great, you know, be a fine musician, which means, and every aspect of music making is part of that. Not that everyone has to operate on those levels, of course, but I like a broad view.
There are aspects of teamwork and leadership that being in a team sport brings out in a young person. Music is really the same way. It involves a lot of intellectual focus and a real desire to master a skill. And these are all things that transfer to many different areas of life.
Been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.